When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me. I am Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith.
And this is the podcast where comedians drink beer and talk about crazy conspiracies, the paranormal, the unexplained and unexplainable.
Sometimes ourselves.
Yeah. And this
just is
unintelligible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this week we're going to talk about nowhere men, people that appear out of nowhere.
I feel like that's me at most situations.
No.
Where the hell did he come from? Where'd he go? Yeah,
this one's fun.
Okay.
I'm excited to talk about it. And we've had some great patron episodes lately. So if you're not on that,
we're also on Rockfin. You sign up for $10. You get all of our patron content plus thousands of hours of other podcasts that
other
you would actually probably like.
I mean, they're
and there's wrestling.
A lot of people that are influenced by us are on there, I think.
Absolutely. Sam Morrell, of course.
All the big ones. People that drink beer and talk about conspiracy.
Yeah, and a bunch of middle-aged men.
Yeah, so I quick comedy thing for those of you that do enjoy hearing about our comedy careers is I had a really cool experience down in Wilmington at Port City's top comic contest.
Yeah, how'd you do?
I didn't do very well.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, so here's the deal is I had a show Saturday night that I was paid to go down there for, and I was like, well, they're having the contest. I might as well do the first round, do my show, and then if I make the finals, I get to be in the finals.
Right.
Fine. Yeah.
Extra
shows. I thought I would make it.
You'd hope.
Finals, yeah. Right?
I think you always go in hoping.
So lineup comes out. It's 12 comics. It's audience votes. I'm the very first person on the lineup,
That's tough.
For those listening, that's the hardest spot in a contest. Yeah,
easily forget.
Easily forgotten. And so I had a great set. Mm-hmm. I think I had the best set.
Yeah.
But I'm not just being typical comic. I had a set that should have gotten me through.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But the problem was that they let anyone in at any time to vote.
Oh, that makes it impossible.
A dozen plus people came in after my set. I'm like, well, they're not voting for me because they didn't even see me.
Yeah. So, oh, that's impossible.
So I didn't make it through.
Well,
I'm very,
it's always next year. And now it's a bringer.
Not. Probably.
It's a bringer, but halfway through.
Yeah, bring them late.
Yeah, bring them halfway
just
through.
Just come and in and vote for me. You don't even have to watch me. Just walk in at the end and vote.
Yeah.
We're excited today to talk about people that appear out of nowhere.
Okay. Oh, Jesus Christ.
And to do that, we brought our friend in out of nowhere. Local comic here in Raleigh, friend of ours, friend of the pod. Give it up for Alex Hofford. Hey, what's up?
Hello, guys. How's it going? Sweet. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you here, man.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it. It's, as a nowhere man myself, it feels good to kind of pop in here and speak our truth.
Well, when I say nowhere man, I didn't really have a good title for this. To be honest, but it is based out of a story that I read about from November of 2021.
Okay.
But it starts in 1991 in a small city in the eastern part of Romania with a cattle trader by the name of Vasily Gorgos.
Mm.
It's a great name.
Yeah, it's a good name.
I mean, it's a good to like a cattle trader sounds.
Yeah, Vasily Gorgos.
Yeah, that sounds real.
Sounds more like an Undertaker name, but.
Yeah, I guess it does.
I think most Romanian
it's like Slippery Pete, Vasily Gorgos.
Yeah, I just think a Romanian cattle trader named Gorgos.
Yeah,
is just,
Slippery and Vasily definitely translate. Yeah. Yep.
Like he's a charlatan.
Well, he did something on one day in 1991 that he had done many times before as a cattle trader is he was like, I got to go out of town today for some business. I don't know what that business was.
Yeah, nobody asked.
The article, it's Romania.
Yeah.
In 91, I think that when you're the patriarch of the house, he was 63 years old at the time.
Okay, maybe he's had to poop.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah, I'll be back.
I mean, I think the fact that he's 63, I think it doesn't rule out anything. It certainly makes some
it ups options. The difficulty factor on a lot of things.
Yeah, when you hear what happened, mm-hmm. then it definitely the fact that he's 63 and not like 33, I think, oh, right. matters. Okay. Well, Gorgos did something. You know, he goes out of town. Something he did a lot. 63 years old, but you guys know these like Romanian men. They're like infamous for just longevity of sure. life, active. He's out in the cattle trading field all day. Yeah,
strong like bull.
Yeah. So he made a lot of day trips. So like again, nobody at home thinks anything of it. It's mm-hmm. literally the equivalent of like, I'm going to work today, honey.
Yeah.
No problem. Right. However, right, 1991, there's no cell phones, none of that. Gorgos didn't come home that night. No phone call, just gone. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, you know how this works, because like it's in every movie I've ever seen. Like his family immediately is like, this is out of character, right? Like mm-hmm. he's a 63-year-old. Like that's my problem.
Right.
Is because if I didn't come home, people are gonna be like, he's really unreliable. So this
Yeah. Yeah.
like this could have he could the there's a million things he could be doing right yeah, now. Yeah. None of them are really great.
Yeah.
But this is not something we should involve the police. But they did involve the police. Oh. And you know what the police say when you do that?
Gotta wait 48 hours.
Yeah, yeah, he's been gone. I don't know how what they say in Romania, but something like they were like, yeah, it's been, you know, I don't even know how Romanians sound. Yeah.
Like, wait 2 days.
yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, that's that, it. So it's like a
Count
it's
Chocolate.
Transylvania Count
yeah,
Chocolate.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's with other woman. Yeah. I'm sure.
That's generally Eastern European.
Yeah, okay, okay. Sure. I didn't want to admit that I didn't really know where Romania was. Yeah.
It's on a map.
I mean, somewhere on there.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, we're not worried yet. We'll give him day to return. So wait, a couple of days go by. And, you know, eventually they're like, it's been a week. Mm-hmm. And now it's been a month.
Do you think they didn't say anything for a whole week and then waited a whole month to say something again? They're like, geez,
yeah, the
wow.
police made him wait a month.
Yeah, they're like, you can't
just wait a little bit longer.
Just a little longer, please.
Please.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Like, honestly, I don't know what the police force in Romania is like today. Mm-hmm. I have to imagine in 1991, it was as bad as it was in 1991 in Raleigh, North Carolina. We're like,
oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, it was impossible to find. I mean, nowadays we all carry a tracking device. There's a lot of ways to find people, and there's just even electronic funds, and like, you know, nobody really has cash on them, mm-hmm. you know? And so like, you're like, oh, he took a bunch of money out in Chicago.
They track everybody. Anytime.
Yeah. So it's like,
and they've like, never heard of credit cards in 1991 Romania.
I don't think the
wires, a rich wires dude. That far.
Those early yeah. adopters had to hate it. They're like, what
I think
is
I
that?
I had a credit card in 91
in America.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like, this is like post.
What is Romania? Is
post Cold War?
Yeah. Did they have Romanian Express?
Yeah. I thought Romania was like, I thought Romania was, I don't know. I don't know what I thought Romania was.
Mr. Card.
Mr. Card.
It's with a couple wives.
What's it known? What's Romanian? Club? Like, what is Romania known? I thought Romania was like,
it's near Bulgaria. I know that much. I know it's near the Balkans, I want to say.
Give me something that like makes is what is give me a well, country that's comparable to Romania that anybody's heard of. I mean, I've heard of Romania. I mean,
probably Czech Republic, but Romania is much smaller than that.
So it's got that Eastern European style.
100%.
Like they're like two decades
that's
behind.
That's where Castle Transylvania is.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if they're two decades behind. When I went to the Czech Republic in Prague, they had Red Bull like 20 years before we had it. They're technologically advanced, okay?
Are they?
Red Bull and vodka is 20 years before the U.S. got them? Get out of here.
Just us appropriating cultures all over again.
Exactly.
Well, it's classic America.
I know.
We totally invented that.
Yep.
When did you invent it? Before you.
Long before you.
Way before you.
When do you think that they got interested, the Romanian police?
I'm going to say like 2 weeks. It's got to be 2 weeks, right?
That's your guess?
Yeah, I mean.
When's a body start to smell?
That's a good.
Because that's like when you feel like you need to start looking because you're like, somebody smells up.
They
I feel like if I was too quick with that answer, it's very, very suspect. Like,
yeah, the fact that I thought of it without thinking
3 weeks.
Scares me.
Well, it depends. Was it hot or cold that day?
Yeah, right.
Well, here's what happened is they took interest when they thought that he was dead, which is seems late in my mind. Like, the family suspected foul play. A huge investigation, a search for Gorgos ensues. Let me just reiterate, I do not know what a 1991 Romanian investigation is like.
Lots of magnifying glasses.
I mean, I think it's a lot of
and then
stuff.
The sun burns up all your evidence. You're like, this is like the worst way to be a detective, because you're always just burning your evidence.
Just wind constantly blowing.
Yeah.
You're getting ash in your face.
That's the worst.
But here's what they find. The family doesn't buy it, but they're like, he's gone. They're like, what do you mean he's gone? They're like, there's not a trace of him anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, we've checked every hospital. We've sent pictures around. Like, they did a pretty good job. They looked everywhere you would go and look. Like, he was on the train that day. Okay, like, did anybody see? Nobody saw him on the train. Nobody saw him at the train station.
Nowhere.
Just like a fart in the wind. Like, just gone. Right?
Wild.
So he is presumed dead.
Okay.
Which I think that's, if anybody listening has been through that, I'm not making light of it, because that has to be closure. Even in death is difficult. I can't imagine what it's like.
Right.
In that. So this is 1992. Now they've exhausted all possibilities. The police are like, I don't know what else you want us to do.
Right.
Right. He's gone. They suspected foul play, but whatever. Okay. Fast forward to last November 2021.
Okay.
A vehicle pulls up to the Gorgos household, right? Guy driving the car, neighbors, it's just a small neighborhood. People are like, whose car is that? Who's driving? We've never seen that guy before.
Yeah.
Driver never gets out of the car.
Who's that?
Pulls up.
How do they say?
What is that? The four wheels?
Yeah.
Nobody has four wheels in this neighborhood.
He's got the iron carriage again.
Yeah, it's not. It's self-powered. Where's the horse?
This is 2021.
It smells like the death of a thousand mountains.
This happened like 6 months ago.
I'm going to mark all this for all going to hell.
So he pulls up. Out of the car steps Vasily Gorgos.
Okay.
Really?
He's 93 alive. Now, right?
He steps out of the car at age 93.
He shouldn't be driving.
He wasn't driving. Somebody drove him.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, nobody recognized the driver. Driver didn't get out. He steps out of the car. Okay. And he's like, honey, I'm home. And she's like, what the fuck do you mean you're home? It's been 30 years. And he's like, what?
Damn. He drove fast.
They're like, what? What do you mean it's been 30? She's like, you've been missing for 30 years. And he's like,
that's a bold move.
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
And they're like, missing for 30 years.
No, you have.
This is like, so he's very disoriented. And they're like, oh, okay, I get it. He's 90, right? So he's just lost his mind. But they bring him inside, and the mystery only deepens from there, right? Because of course they're like, what in that? Like, 30 years is a long freaking time, by the way.
Yeah.
One, that he was 63 and now he's 93 when he came back. That's crazy. But what's even weirder is he was wearing the exact same clothes, crazy. Shoes, socks, everything when he walked out the door. Even to the point where in the coat pocket of his suit was an unused train ticket for 1991.
He's been waiting for his train
the whole time.
Oh, my God.
Romanian public transportation.
Dude, so slow.
Sucks.
You thought it would have improved after the Cold War.
Yeah.
Nope.
This train is so late. You mean it's on time.
Yeah, how long
has it been? Yeah. 12 years?
We have all these niche Romanian jokes, and people are going to be like, no one from Romania listens to your
Or brain. Even sounds like that.
No.
No, right. No. Oh, right. Yeah. He is disoriented. And they ask him repeatedly, where have you been? And he was like, I was here the whole time. They're like, you were gone. And he's like, I was not to me. I was not.
So he never pulled out of the driveway. And
he didn't know. So they did take him, obviously, to the doctor, because they're like, he's back after 30 years. He seems like he's lost his mind. Doctors do a very, very thorough examination and determine that, like, they don't know what happened to him, but he has not been mistreated in any way. Like, he's been fed, like, well, like, he's in good health. Like, his you know, all of his bodily functions are working. He has no bruises. He hasn't been beaten or like tortured, aside from like just some general like 90-year-old dude, like what was his, you know, like kind of just mental cognitive.
But he did look older.
He definitely was 30 years older. But they're like, well, we don't understand then. Like, and let me just make it clear is that when people hear this story, the very first thing that they think of, the very first hypothesis you can probably guess is what?
Alien invasion.
Oh, no, that's not. No, come on. First? No,
that's what I thought.
First. Oh, well, that's because you're on a conspiracy podcast. I mean, yeah. I'm talking like reasonable people.
Oh.
If you're trying to think of like what really happened to this guy.
That's tough. That's hard to explain without aliens.
That's right. Kind of where my mind went because I couldn't find anything grounded.
Most people think that he got arrested for something.
Oh, that'd be crazy.
Then 30 years later, he got out of prison.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's
good. He got sentenced to 30 years. He got out. Then they drove him home.
No way, though.
Right. And that's why the doctor's prognosis is so important because I don't think anyone emerges from 30 years of prison and feels like they haven't been mistreated to some degree.
Right.
Like there's not like this guy had like slept on a soft bed.
He would have sadness behind his eyes.
1991 Romanian prison.
Right. Yeah, so yeah. I'm pretty sure like
this gulag
People are like
goulash.
They don't, you know, as much as it's a part of some movies, they don't keep your clothes in prison if you're there for 30 years, right?
I don't know. Every movie has led me to believe that.
They put it in a plastic bag full of all your stuff. Yeah.
You think that the prison system is going to be responsible for your belongings for 30? Do they mail it home?
They spend a lot on prisoners, so I wouldn't.
I promise they don't normally. And even if they did, what are the chances that a suit after 30 years?
Oh, true.
Well, if he's been well fed and well taken care of, then nothing.
Have you ever stored a suit? Do you think they're getting it dry?
Yeah, get a steamer.
Romanian prisons are really.
Dude, can you order that from the prison catalog? A steamer, so you look fresh the first day out.
Even if the clothes don't fit in the prison hypothesis, I just think that there's some physical residue from being in prison that for 30 years, right? Just in terms of just
sure.
And it could explain like some of the psychological, like you were saying.
Yeah.
If you're going to get out and not think any time has passed, like you'd have to get, but the idea of him surviving in a Romanian prison at the age of 63 for any stretch of time, let alone 30 years.
Right. And to come out, as Dr. saying, looking like he's in really good health.
Yeah. Fitting into the same suit.
Right.
That's
so he
insane.
Wasn't, yeah. So it's like people who think, well, he was kidnapped or he was tortured. It's like, there's no evidence of it at all. He just walks in and he's just like, I was here the whole time. Right. Yeah. It's like the greatest game of hide and seek.
Yeah.
Or it's ever.
Like, it's like the beginning of Impractical Jokers.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, you're going to go home in 30 years and you're going to act like nothing happened.
Yeah. Right. What is that? What's that filmmaker?
Werner Herzog?
No. Richard Linklater.
That's it. Got it.
Nailed it. That would be a crazy Richard Linklater film. It's like, you're going to disappear from your family.
Yeah.
30 years, we're going to film it when you come back. And it's going to be.
It's a great reality
show.
Dude, it's the clicks on that article. We don't know what clicks are yet, but trust me, clicks are going to be a thing.
Someone could be doing it now.
Now, right.
Mm-hmm. It's like a Truman Show.
Yeah.
You know that trick of that famous story of the magician in Central Park who he did the thing where he says, pick any card, and the guy picks a card, and it's like, okay, right, you know, like, okay. And then he's like, find your cards. Card's not in the deck.
Okay.
And he's like, okay. And then there's a tree near where he's doing the trick, and there's a knot in the tree, and they drill into the tree, and the card is inside the tree. Mm-hmm. And people are like, how? And it's like, he knew that guy when he was a kid, and so he planted the tree and buried the card in the tree till the tree grew, and then he used a set of devices to get that guy to a magic show in the park in front of that tree when it was time. And then he set the trick up like 20 years in advance.
That's real?
Yeah, that's a real story.
That's crazy.
It's a real story. It's a real story.
I heard it from somebody.
Yeah. It was actually in the park. He's like, I planted a tree 30 years ago.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
No, it's in a movie, but I read that it was based on a real trick.
That's wild.
People just go, great. I mean, a long con.
Yeah.
Right. I don't see any evidence of this being a long con.
Again, and it's a 63-year-old cattle farmer. Like, you, at some point...
Romania, don't those guys have some sort of, like Nietzschean acceptance of life's futility in a beautiful sort of, like,
and
way?
The solace of solitude, right?
Right, like, right, yeah.
In such a remote area, yeah. Sure, you've got your, like, wife and presumably children, but you're mostly tending to cows.
You're smoking, like, hand-rolled tobacco and drinking some amazing liquor that's cost pennies,
or
but over
really
here.
Bad milk.
Yeah.
Because you're a cattle farmer.
Yeah.
Probably good milk, well, right from the teat.
A little sour. A
little.
Yeah. When you mix it with Romanian bourbon, yeah.
Yeah, I love sour bourbon.
Ah, they probably drink a lot of vodka there. I don't know. I'm really, really stereotyping in a positive way, I might add.
Sure. Yeah, like, we punch up.
I feel like in America, like just ghosting your whole family and like never coming back. We're all like, yeah, the guy just had it. He just was fucking over it. Take this
how
job.
How many going up for cigarettes jokes can
right,
you
right, right. That's what I'm saying. Like, it seems, I don't know if that's prevalent in other cultures, but even an American cattle farmer of 63 years old, it would surprise me more if they did it versus like the stockbroker.
Were there any details about how the cows were left? Like, was he walking them between things
and the cows just
kind of spread everywhere? Were they like where they were supposed to be? Looked like he did his job. Like, that's for whatever reason, out of all of the details we've discussed up to this point, that's the part that's really just like, I need answers.
Well, here's the thing I don't understand. I don't really understand what a cattle trader does. And I understand trading, but I don't, what I'm saying is like, I understand like Pokemon card trading, right?
Like, I believe it's like rearing, like selling it's bulls to, you know,
so sire. Let's put it in practical terms. Like in Pokemon, there's a buyer and then there's a seller. And then sometimes there's a middle person. That's what I'm thinking of as a trader. Right.
I can see that.
Either they will buy stuff from sellers and then sell them to buyers, or sometimes they're even brought in where it's like, is this Charizard worth $1 million?
Kind of like a foster parent for puppies and stuff like that.
Yeah. And the art of trading, obviously, is you want to buy it as low as you can and sell it as high as you can. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming that's what cattle traders do. What I'm saying is I don't understand what the day-to-day of like a cattle trip. I guess I'm asking like, what are these out-of-town business trips that he's going? Like, I'm going to look at some cows and...
Yeah, you go to auctions,
you go to auctions.
Heads of cattle and steer and things like that.
You go to like the state fairs like we have. You would kinda go to like our state fair and be like, got a good crop out of this.
You probably like trade different types of cattle for others.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I want a big old steak boy.
Do the people that are like,
that's cool. I want a milk lady.
I got a runner.
Do people like, do you think they
I want one of them Chick-fil-A cows?
You know how like when you try to sell something on a Facebook marketplace, you take the best angle. Is that what they're doing with the cows? Is it like, like make it like the udders look bigger because camera's on the ground?
Yeah, it's a good filter.
Yeah. He's got like a stage that they walk up onto and they can only look at it from below. Yeah. It's like, check out the undercarriage on this
look
one.
Look how big it looks.
Wow.
That one's full of milk. Okay. Trust me, it's good, and points to his wife, and she's got a big old milk mustache. Yeah,
it's crazy. It's all marketing.
She's like giving the thumbs up and nodding her head.
It is.
It's good.
Listen, I believe it.
You guys are joking, but there's a lot to be said for like how modern organic food is marketed to us, always with like some like Viking-looking white couple who's decided to give up their seven-figure income to raise organic chickens in the hills of Virginia.
We only grow three at a time.
Yeah.
Right. Cages totally 4 miles apart.
Well, it's like the food's sustainable, but what about your business model?
Yeah. We send you the embryo.
You actually sit on the egg yourself.
Yeah, you bring it back. So
nothing like incubating your own breakfast.
That's right. So you have to stay up all night, but it's delicious.
So before we're going to come back to this story, I wanted just to point out that as crazy as Gorgos' story is, guy's just gone for 30 years, it's one of like a remarkable number of stories like this. So these are just a couple more. One is Stephen Kubacki. He disappeared while skiing. And, nice thing about when you disappear when skiing is that you leave tracks.
Right, yeah.
So they're just like...
Was it off a cliff?
We'll find them. Okay. So they find the ski tracks. They're like, here are ski tracks. And it goes out, and then it crosses onto a frozen lake.
Oh.
And they're like, well, case closed. He skied out on the lake, and he's dead now.
Turns out he just went faster and crossed the lake.
Crazy. Yeah. Thanks, Red Bull.
Get literally what they said. They literally got to the edge of the lake, and they were like, well, he's dead. He's so.
Oh, it already froze over, too.
Yeah, right.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you got to imagine if you're rescuing, you're in a search and rescue, and it's cold enough to ski, and there's lake frozen, you're going to take the first plausible example.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Cold as shit. They want to be out there. Yeah.
So he had been gone for some time at this point. His family was like, okay, we just got to move on. Just like the other story, they held a memorial service for him. You know, they were very upset. It is somewhat common for people who do snowmobiling or cross-country skiing. You fall into water that you think's just,
right,
you know, ice it solid. Tragedy. 15 months later, mm-hmm, in a town 739 miles away from where the tracks ended, Stephen Kubacki wakes up disoriented in a field. Now, I don't know if it's
sick ramp, bro.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, seriously, or like there's something to this. He's in the town, or at least nearby the town where his father lives. I think his parents were separated. So this is like where his dad lives. But this is weird. He's dressed in clothes that he never recalls owning.
Oh, no.
He walks like 30 miles to his dad's house, and he's just like, and of course.
Was he wearing JNCOs? He's like, these are definitely, whose are these?
Thankfully, I didn't lose my wallet because it was attached to his chain.
Exactly.
God, every time I think of those, we had a buddy who wore that, and he had the chain. Mm-hmm. But here's the crazy part. Mm-hmm. Is his chain went from his wallet into his zipper and connected to his Prince Albert.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of people doing that.
Yes.
Yeah, because if you don't put that thing on a leash, it'll go away.
Well, apparently. But here's the problem. Oh, we were biking.
Oh, no.
And
the
chain got caught up in the wallet chain, got caught up in the bike chain, and it flung him over the handlebars.
Oh, my God.
But it did not separate. Like, his scrotum held. Oh. And we're all like,
holy shit.
This is why you listen to this podcast.
Holy shit.
If anything, for just the image of the gymnastics involved in pulling off something like that. Like, he jump roped himself or tried to bike chain his own bike.
But what was funny about it is that, I don't know if you guys have ever biked in a way where, like, somebody crashes, and it's usually like, you know, you're coming up to a curb and you kind of see it happening.
Yeah.
Well, this is just like going down like a gradual hill where, like, everybody's fine, and all of a sudden it's just like,
slipping over by his dick.
Just like, it was just like out of nowhere. Like, oh, what? And like, we were like, what the hell just happened? And he's like, oh. And we're like, and he, it took a
just
while.
Stunned, because he's like, I never thought my wallet chain would do this to me. Whoa, I'm so betrayed, so right
crazy,
now.
Crazy, man.
That's so funny.
Oh, man.
Well, anyway, this guy, Kubacki, he was wearing clothes that he did not recognize. And this is the part that I love. He was carrying a satchel of maps from a different era.
Oh,
like,
crazy.
Like, not maps that anyone can understand of places. Mm. And they're like, what are these maps? He's like, I just woke up 739 miles away from where I last was. I have clothes on I don't understand. I have a satchel and I have maps.
Why?
I don't know what, I have no memory of the last 15 months. Nothing. And that's the same thing with Gorgos. Gorgos was like, to me, his experience was, I walked out of the house and I just got back home, and I don't have like a gap in memory. Like, I remember everything from when I left and to when I just arrived, but nothing in between. Same with this guy. Like, I don't know. Hmm. I was skiing, and now I'm in a field with a satchel of maps that don't correspond to anything I've ever seen, in a language I can't read. I don't know.
Man, that's a fun trick.
I mean, you know, neither Gorgos nor Kubacki were known for drugs or alcohol, which, again, I think that's the next thing people think of.
How about methamphetamines? That's more of a lifestyle.
I mean, yeah, right. I mean, that's what I'm saying with my family. They've been like, maybe he finally tried heroin, because then Although I said I'm never doing heroin because, you know, if I disappear, you guys will know that, like, he tried heroin and he's...
Yeah, and my bank account is $1,000 less than it's supposed to be.
Every hour.
Every hour. He keeps buying Amazon.com gift cards at Walmart.
What the hell?
And see the history of transactions here. I don't know how he expects to buy methamphetamine with Amazon gift cards.
How would you do that?
The trade rate on those is definitely not dollar for dollar.
Yeah, definitely don't join our Discord for that info.
Well,
trying to pump it.
Here's another.
It's not the Silk Road. It's like the Wool Road.
Here's another man from nowhere. Right? William Bates, American ophthalmologist, somewhat a famous, if not controversial, ophthalmologist, which we'll talk about in a second. But
like glasses doctor.
Yeah, like glasses doctor. I don't know the difference between optometrist and ophthalmologist, except ophthalmologist is spelled really bizarre. It's like OPH.
But it's the same. It's like the British version?
I think so. Mm. Maybe.
I think it's like, we look further into your eyes.
Oh, like.
Which one is better?
Probably
I think optometrist just says, like, and I don't mean to disparage like anybody.
Yeah, we have a big optometry.
No. I figured that, like, I didn't want to hit that pocket.
Sure.
Yeah, but I feel like the optometrist is like, you know, glasses, contacts.
Still requires
ophthalmologist.
A ton of knowledge. But ophthalmologist gets in there and like digs at your cones and rods and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's right. I know that one of them is, I don't know which one.
It's like maybe ophthalmologist is just a fancy way of saying eye surgeon.
Maybe.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe that's what that is.
Yeah, if you're listening.
Definitely, join us on our Discord and let us know.
Yeah,
In all honesty, this is how conspiracies begin.
Exactly. What is it?
Honestly, I have enough confidence to believe this right now.
Yeah, I know. Sure.
So, that sounds good to me. Sounds good to you.
Tell you what.
Totally does, buddy.
So he sends his wife a letter. This is like 1900, by the way. His wife a letter. Says, hey, I have a job out of town that pays very well, so I've been sent to go take care of it. I'm traveling with my former student, Dr. So-and-so. You're right. They're doctors. Yeah, they call each other doctors.
Oh, yeah. Right. Sure. Doctors
of eyes. Eye doctor. I don't know.
Of eyes just again, sounds way more.
Hey, Dr. Eyes.
He's a doctor of eyes.
Well, he goes out of town, which, again, just like the other guy, was pretty common, right? So, doesn't return. She looks for him. I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. He was somewhat of a prominent ophthalmologist, such that people were like, kind of need to find that guy. So years later, I think, like,
if that's a sign you're a bad ophthalmologist. If people can't see you to find you.
I can't.
You were their eye doctor and they can't see you.
How long has it been since you last saw him? I haven't seen him in the first place. What's going on?
I was imagining trying to find him like using like photos where you showed it to people and you'd be like, does that look like them? They're like, is this better?
Is
that better? Is that more like him? Or is that less like him?
That's funny. I like
that. Just randomly walk up to you and puff in your eye. It's like,
That's of course, and then you find that one guy that's his kink.
Just
get the other way. Get the other one.
Just farting in people's eyes. That's funny if that's what's in that little thing. It's just a little small dwarf.
He's farting.
I'll be right out there to see you.
Sure.
Just piping it in.
Yeah. So then this hospital in London contacts the wife in 1900. So again, I don't know what that time frame looks like.
The caves.
But they were like, hey, there's a guy here that fits the description that's always been a little mysterious. I don't know. It might be your husband. So she comes to London and it's her husband and he's a physician's assistant in a hospital in London. And she's like, oh my God, like, where have you been? And he's like, Mom, I'm sorry, I don't know you.
Oh, my God.
He's got a British accent, no memory of his wife at all.
And he took a pay cut.
Yes. I mean, I don't know, man. I'd take a pay cut to live in London in the 1900s. No.
No, Jack the Ripper's running around for a week. Biggest story.
He was gone by then. I don't know. They never caught. So he has no recollection of his wife whatsoever. Wow. She's like, I promise you I'm your wife. And here's this is my favorite part of the story. She says, come back to my hotel room tonight, and I can prove it to you.
Yeah, that's how they did business.
So he goes back to the room.
What did I just walk into, man?
I know. Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
I just want time travel. I don't want to get involved in all this now.
Well, I thought I was escaping that life.
So he goes to the hotel room, and he remembers parts of her, like in his life.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah, that's my point, is that he's like, yeah.
Oh, right.
Oh, right.
Cynthia, yes, I totally remember you. Oh, your hair, totally, it's so long and brown.
So she's like, okay, finally I found him. They're reunited. 2 days later, he mysteriously disappears again. Gone. Wow. And she never finds him again.
Oh, wow.
So she dies in like 1925 or something. And another ophthalmologist who knew him prior is in a small town in the middle of nowhere in the United States. And he's like, Dr. Bates. And he's like, yeah, excuse me, do I know you? And he's like, you were living in this town. You disappeared. You showed up in London. Your wife found you. Then you disappeared again. He's like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Crazy. And he's British or not British?
Not British. He's got no accent again.
But he's like humming Ding Dong the Witch is Dead to himself the entire time. Yeah.
He's
like, good God, Jesus, dude. That's a little on the nose, buddy.
So what's going on?
He is a little bit insane, apparently. He actually wrote a extremely controversial ophthalmology book, which to this day is called The Bates Method.
Oh, yeah.
Named after him. And it's essentially about natural healing of eyesight. Now, in the conspiracy world, people are like, Bates knew what was going on. He was a time traveler. But
carrots.
And so he basically is like, it's glasses. You strain your eyes, and it makes it worse and worse and worse. You can heal your vision naturally, mostly by staring into direct sunlight and burning your cornea, it's very controversial. But that's the Bates method.
Okay. Don't do it, people.
Now, we have talked about on this show before, the man from Torrid.
Oh, yeah.
Very famous story. There's also one called The Man from Lisbia and The Man from Laxaria.
Yep.
The story arc for all of these is the same, which is essentially a disoriented person shows up at an airport, picked up by police. Where are you from? And they say, I'm from Lisbia. First of all, they don't speak the language.
Right.
And after like bringing in translator after translator after translator, they finally find something where they can like, he can kind of translate this. And the end result is that these people always come from a place that doesn't seem to exist. And the man from Torrid was in an airport. They were like, show us on a map where you are. And they pull a map out and he's like, well, it's there, but it's not on the map. It's not there.
Like no border was drawn.
Right. Like that's where I'm from. And in the case of the man from Torrid, they were so weirded out at the airport that they put him into like a containment cell.
Yeah, and then they killed him.
And well,
no, I'm joking. Dude.
No, he disappeared. Like he came back the next day. And they're like, "Where did he go?" And they're like, "We have no idea where that was." So like,
wild.
These guys just and so there's here's a one from 19th century in Japan. I think it's Utsurabun. I don't know how to say. I don't speak Japanese.
I don't speak Japanese either.
I feel like he tried the best that he could though. That was good.
And I will. I know just enough about Japanese history to know that there was a long period of their history, and certainly the 19th century, where like they still lived in like feudal type world, despite technology that was way beyond it. And like, you know, there's that big opening of a ship sailing into the port in Japan and making a big stir. Okay. So in this case, they were, people were in this village, saw a ship that came up, which was hollow, shaped like a bowl of rice, but had glowing lights inside, was built with red sandalwood and metal, and the top's windows were made of crystal. It was ornate, and it was decorated with letters from an alphabet that no one had ever seen before. And then
Hashtag yellow swag 420.
That's right. What are the hashtags?
When the ship opens, a woman clutching a strange wooden box walks out. She had a pale white face, bright red hair with hair extensions, appeared to be around the years 18 years old. And she didn't understand any Japanese, and no one understood where she came from.
You just, dumb girl.
Like, like out of nowhere, what I essentially think, yeah, think is...
You get back on your boat.
That's how you avoid...
Go right back.
Avoid racist stereotypes. You just do a Southern accent for everything.
Because that's what I know and that's where I'm from.
That's what I'm going to do.
All these...
get off my beautiful island.
Now that you say that, I realize
what you think you're doing rolling into Kyoto like that?
That's right.
Get out of Kyoto.
If you don't speak the language, leave.
That's right. Get out of here. Yeah. Get away from your space boat.
Yeah. With your foreign talk and all that.
And all that, whatever. You don't understand me. I don't understand you.
Summer is coming, the sun is shining, shirts are off, and your balls are smooth. You heard that right. Your friends at Manscaped are here to make sure your beach balls are as smooth as Floridian sand. In summer, you want to kill some cold beers and barbecues, not kill the vibe with pubes peeking out your swim trunks. That's why Manscaped has their Performance Package 4.0 to keep the party in your pants looking crisp and refreshing all summer long. Dive headfirst into summer by joining the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, and get ready for hot guy summer by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code CBM20. Remember that one time you were in the shower and you tried to use a straight razor and you screwed up a little bit and you lost a ball? We've all been there, right? And then you got to stuff it back in there. It's gross and nobody wants to talk about it, but I'm gonna. And Manscaped's here to help. The Manscaped Performance Package 4.0 has everything you need to prepare that summer bod. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance Boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all your goodies. Their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor. A new multifunction on-off switch can engage a travel lock and gives you the ability to turn on the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. Did I mention this trimmer is waterproof too? From the shower to the lake, from your chest scruff all the way down to your ball fro, the Lawnmower 4.0 is the best trimmer around. Once your downstairs weeds are taken care of, look after the rest with Manscaped's liquid formulations. Before heading outside, use Crop Preserver ball deodorant to stay cool in the heat. With a soothing aloe vera formula, it's best in the business for below-the-waist freshness. This clear-drying formula will keep you in tip-top shape even at the hottest barbecue. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts for the Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag that will bring your comfort to another level. Want to take your grooming game even further? Take a look at Manscaped Shears 2.0, a package that has everything you need to look pristine. Nail cutters, tweezers, and grooming scissors. With a performance package, your balls will be ready to impress, but make sure you cover the rest with Shears 2.0, and you'll be ready to perform from head to toe. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code CBM20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code CBM20 at manscaped.com. This is the summer to turn your package into the full package with Manscaped.
What I like about this, if this was like a motorboat from California, in 1800, then I think the Japanese would be freaked out by it, which they were. Yeah, for but sure. what makes the story click for me though is that the person who emerged, a woman, 18-ish years old, red hair extensions, pale white face, clutching a wooden box, like to me, it's like. She's disoriented. Like, it's like, I don't know where I am. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I don't know how I got here, right? I what's going on? That to me is like where I start to really say, well, maybe, right? Now, my favorite tale of men from nowhere involves the very famous Caspar Hauser. Okay. Caspar Hauser.
Okay. German?
No, but it's a German story.
Okay. So he's a ghost?
No, no one, knows where he came from, but sometime in the early 1800s in the German village, all of a sudden out of nowhere, there's a man no one's ever seen before walking through town with a strange, like limp, like a gait that's sort of a broken gait. Like someone doesn't know how to walk well. Now, again, it's the 1800s in Germany in a small town. I just think it's like, I mean, hell, small towns now in North Carolina. I bike around and we pull into small towns and people know.
Yeah, people walk with a limp.
Yeah, I mean, well, they especially know like, is a stranger coming through town and he looks odd.
That bike doesn't have pegs on it. What the hell is that?
What is that? No motor?
What the hell, man?
Hey, what?
You got a hand shifter?
So he's limping to the streets, and he's got an envelope in it that they later read, and the letter in the envelope is addressed to a cavalry captain in Nuremberg. like hundreds of years later. Right. They're like, what? Where did you come from? He has no idea where he came. He doesn't speak German. He's only capable of saying a couple words, one of which, by the way, is horse. He's going to say horse, and horse is like his favorite word.
In German or English?
Well, this was in his language, they determined meant horse.
Oh, like he could point at it.
They think that like he was a kid that had a toy horse because they just called his toys horses. Oh. You're like, you want a horse? Like, you know, like you say with a treat with your dog, you're like, not because he was unintelligent, just because that's one of the very, he spoke not a different language. Like, when someone speaks Spanish, even French or German, I can kind of get there a little bit. This is like he's speaking something we don't even
Like clicks and whistles.
Yeah, it's like that. Languages. It's like yes,
that's wild.
So out of nowhere, he learned some. They were able to teach him some German, and he was told them that where he came from, there was no light. It was always dark in his the place he lived, and it was so short that he wasn't able to stand up.
Oh yeah, dude, we did a whole episode on this guy, didn't we?
No, I don't think so.
It must have been different. Keep going.
We talked about what are called the green children.
Oh, that's right, the green children. They talk. Okay, anyway,
Similar to the green children. Okay, I'll talk about them next before we get to like kind of thoughts on this.
Sure.
So he said he couldn't stand up, so he never really really learn to walk. He just knew how to kind of do it, right? Mm-hmm. Now, in 1800s in Germany, this guy becomes like a celebrity. People are like, this is the coolest thing that's ever happened to this town. So much so that he became a regular member of the court of the German royalty. He lived at court, and like people would come to see him.
Hibbity bibbity, flop flop. Just like, dude, we love this guy so much.
Come hang out. This is awesome. He's cool.
Yeah. I guess it must have been just an awesome time to be a funny comedian.
Yeah. Or they kill you if they don't like you.
If they don't like you, they kill you.
Yeah.
Or just different. Think about that. Like something incredibly foreign. You have no idea how to even connect with this person.
Right.
Like how quickly are we to ostracize in any recent history? Whereas back then they're like, kind of want to give this guy somewhere to stay.
Right.
Like, man, like check this out. This is wild, isn't it? And like the word of mouth grows, like we're kind of cool with this. Let's see how it goes. Yeah. You don't get to King's Court just by sheer novelty act of it.
Probably
you
know? No,
I think you gotta be pretty, good. Cause like Shane said, I think if you're whatever that guy that wrote the Iliad and the Odyssey, Homer.
Oh, yeah, Homer. Yeah.
If you show up to, like, you know, Theseus and you have a bomb, I mean, you're dead.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? I paid 1,000 galleons for this? This is bullshit. And, like, they kill you.
Yeah. I don't want any part of that.
Yeah, so I think it puts the pressure on you to be really, really entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a lot of, I feel like every movie I watch, there were a lot of rules, you know?
Like, yeah.
You got to stand when this happens. Oh, a dove dove flew into the room.
You know what this guy did?
Yeah.
He bucked the rules one at a time.
That's right.
He showed us that you can wear purple to dinner.
Yeah.
You just got to commit to the bit.
Yeah.
You got to walk through town.
Like, when you dance with a lady, you get to touch her now.
That's funny. He's just living on a farm. His friends are like,
hands.
Guys like us, man, we can never get to the court. He's like, yes, you can. You just got to come with a crazy story.
That's right.
Watch. I'll do it.
What makes you, you?
This is a Lifetime movie.
That's great. It's great.
Cletus and Jed found their way to the biggest house on the lake. This is a modern retelling of a Connecticut Yankee at King Arthur's Court.
It's great.
I think. Yeah, I like it.
Well, I will say that one of
Gee whiz, guys.
Gee whiz. They never figured anything more out about him. Although he had multiple letters in his envelope, which seemed to confirm his story once they figured out the languages and were able to sort of translate the letters, like that he came from a different time. Mm-hmm. The information on his death is inexplicable to me because, like, some people say he died in 1928, but his gravestone says, like, he died in, like, 1823.
Weird.
Like, it's very unclear about when he was alive and dead, but there's multiple like historical records that are confirmed. And he was also the subject of like countless assassination attempts throughout his life. So somebody was like, he's a man out of time. It does not belong there. And we got to get rid of him. Yeah. But he, so
it just sounds like the bio that a modern day rapper wishes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
This is a man out of time and everyone's coming for his head.
Yes. Before we get to kind of thoughts and stuff, the Green children were these kids who showed up in this village in England and they were green. And people were like,
is it Wolf Pit?
Green, I think it's
children are Wolf Pit.
Yeah, I think that's right. Like that. Yeah. And they spoke a language that no one understood. They smelled. They tried to
feral kids.
Yeah, they tried to feed them like food. They would only eat like certain like raw meats and stuff, and drink like milk straight from the cow. And they were just very. They looked like that guy on TikTok, that jacked dude. You know,
no.
The dude that eats raw meat with his kids.
Oh, I don't. I'm not on TikTok.
Oh, sure.
I follow jacked ladies, not jacked dudes.
Oh. He's been in the news recently. Well, anyway, so then they couldn't figure it out. Now, some people think that they belong to a nearby village at a whole different language than it was like. But
you know, they paint their kids green.
They showed out of nowhere, weird, though. Yeah. No, they were green because they something in their diet.
Like flamingos.
Yeah, gangrene.
Yeah, they're covered in gangrene.
They cut their tails off in order to get back into society.
Yeah.
Well,
they smell like feet.
So these are just a handful of examples of what people deem men from nowhere. People from nowhere, because essentially what these things have in common is either a disappearance and then a reappearance, or sometimes just an appearance. Mm-hmm. And I think I want to make sure that it's clear that it's the reappearance or the appearance that is bizarre, because people disappear all the time. And we've talked about sometimes in mysterious ways. But people reappear from those disappearances far less.
I mean, right.
like a true disappearance. Yeah. It's very rare. And unfortunately,
and if it does happen, it's usually right after the disappearance happens.
It's very soon after. Yeah.
Not this extended period of time.
Yeah. I forget what and this is true, that there's some time period where law enforcement says once we get past that threshold, recovery is essentially.
Is that the first 48? Is that what the TV show is?
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
I don't think it's that.
I don't think it's that short. But I think it's.
I think that's just getting the first person you arrest to admit they did it.
Yeah,
I think that's we got weird. 2 days before they figure out they need a lawyer.
Yeah, thanks, Wolf.
I think
today.
Yeah. Usually, the ones that are more common, and I didn't really. I mean, some of them are just like, this person was kidnapped, and their kidnappee kept them. Mm. You know, as a slave for 15 years. They're brutal stories. Yeah. These are not those. These are ones where it's like, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
And so let's just try to like talk about some of the theories up there, right? Aside from like natural causes, where like we talked about prison or drugs or a second family or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like people say that are these time travelers who inadvertently, I mean, When we figure out that there is time travel, I guess there's this possibility of accidental time travel.
Right.
It's either happened or is going to happen once we.
The idea that there's a butterfly effect, or if you go back in time and change something about the way history has happened up to the point you went back in time, that when you get back, things will be fundamentally different from whatever was done in the past that changed what the future could be. What if, because we're all living in the current timeline, I mean, clearly, we are still unaware of time travel, if it's really manifested and been true or whatever. But these blips in the space-time continuum, these people coming in and out of time, man out of time, whatever it may be, you basically get to the point where it's like, if it's going to rip open and we're still sitting in this current moment, then we still don't know anything about time travel, even if it were true.
Right, yeah.
I think that with time travel and these sort of things, whether it's time travel or parallel dimensions, which to some degree I think would be the same, at least the same similar phenomenon where like you entered into a time zone or a space-time that you weren't familiar with, and that's what creates the disorientation. Mm-hmm. That all those like paranormal explanations for this, like I have a hard time imagining it, but I read an article today that said that scientists think that the human brain has evolved to essentially understand time and space in such a way that it helps us survive. Mm. But that the reality is that it's not, it's only letting in the information that we need to exist in this time and space and intentionally preventing us from seeing the reality, which right. is that there are multiple dimensions all around us. And, you know, I don't know if this is sort of like a precursor to a certain mental state that certain people have where that evolutionary function doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, and maybe this goes to the point, is that maybe we can time travel, but the people that know how to do it are like, if we let people start time traveling, like the world's going to end. We need people to live in this world and stay right where they are and not, like if
the timeline needs to stay intact.
Yeah.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like the thing about, we talk about with conspiracies all the time is that like, if you're going to pull off a conspiracy, like a huge deception, first of all, only a couple people can know. And they have to have a really vested interest in not sharing the truth.
Mm-hmm. Like their junk strapped to their wallet.
Yeah, right. Like you got to like, if you like time jump, it's going to rip your balls.
That guy is clearly not part of the Illuminati.
Yeah. Maybe he is.
He would have made sure no one remembered that.
Yeah, well, for sure.
I jump rope with my bike and my dick.
Yeah. It wasn't my dick. It was fine.
Well, so maybe we can time travel, but the people that know how to do it are like, we cannot let this get out because if it starts to become common.
Until they're ready.
Right.
It's an until they're ready sort of deal because it clearly exists. Well, that's so it manifests at some point. Well, when you say ready,
I don't.
Who's the judge of that? But that's a lot when people think UFOs. Like, they'll let us know when we're ready for it. It's like, okay.
No, but I think, I mean, look,
They're not done yet.
They introduced automobiles to human beings way too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It just massacred. I mean, there was a period of American history where automobiles were like the most dangerous thing. It was considered almost like a daredevil to get in an automobile. Yeah. And that's like what I think about. It's like, we're going to let time travel out when like we understand that people can only just, you know, they can kind of jump around where they can go see a football game in the future.
Not everybody's going back and killing Hitler.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We're not gonna
line up, buddy.
And Hitler probably signed a deal. You know, sponsored by who knows.
That's awful if it's like an escape room, like come to our escape room and go back in time and like kill off dictators from the past.
I feel like it's that scene in Big Daddy Little Nicky when have you ever seen the Adam Sandler movie? It's like Hitler's wearing like a French maid outfit and he opens a closet full of pineapples and he has to choose the one that gets shoved up his ass that day. Yeah, and so he chooses like the smallest one. The guy's like, He chooses the big one. He goes, you're schnarious.
That movie is rough.
It's like, that would be his life over and over again. Yeah. If that was the time continuum and we made it an amusement park, it would be that or jumping in front of JFK or something like that. I would imagine it would be some like literally altering or the Lincoln assassination. Yeah. Be like, just point the dude's hand away from his head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It just, but that's kind of, it feels like that's kind of like what Westworld is in a way, where it's like you're manifesting this reality and you're just going in at select spots and you can kind of choose how to kind of work with it. And you're just creating all these alternate timelines as a result.
Right. And I think that
big mess.
One of the things in these stories,
big old cosmic mess,
stands out is the lack of agency, like the confusion and disorientation where like, it doesn't seem like a purpose driven thing.
Right.
Where someone's like, I had to go back. I had to do something done. It's like, it's never like, it's always just like, I was here for 30 years. I don't know what you're talking about.
Wow.
And that makes me think that it's not an intentional thing.
Mm-hmm.
That it's something where that the way we understand our realities, that at times there's a little bit of wash, you know, there's some swamp like places where water and earth are meeting, but it's two different realities. And sometimes like
brackish
for the most
water.
Part,
yeah,
it is. Sort and occasionally comes from, right. And this happens where you're like, people are like, we have a saltwater fish that's living 800 miles upstream. And they're like, we don't know how that happens. Cause that thing should not have been able to survive or get there. Mm. And you're like, well, it is. Like, it's, here are pictures of it. We have those examples. And I think it just happens where somehow you're like, okay, where am I? I've never been here, but like, I know what my reality was. And wow. You know, when I read an article, it was in the New York Times recently about what people that believe in conspiracy theories, that they have a notable belief in their own instincts. Mm-hmm. And I think this speaks to that.
Yeah.
Right? Because most people, if you show up in a town in Germany, all of a sudden, and people are like, where did you come from? You're going to be like, I think I came from here. I think I'm confused. I think I must have, you know, yeah. Most people are going to be like, you're not going to tell them a story like, I came from a place where I lived in a black box and I couldn't right. stand up in and yeah. I was another time. You're going to try to assimilate.
You think?
Unless.
Maybe.
I mean, you wake up and you're in a different time in a different place. You do not speak the language.
Yeah.
They're likely going to be hostile towards you. Are you going to try to concoct a story and imagine, are you going to say, I am Shane Smith from the year 2022. I do not know how I got here. This is how I speak. And I'm not hostile. I'm going to try to show you non-threatening behaviors, but yeah. I'm sticking to my story.
Yeah. I don't know. That's tough. I don't know.
And if people are like, he's an insane, you're in an insane hospital, and you're like, I'm not insane. I'm from 2000.
I tend to wear my heart on my sleeve. I tell them everything right away.
These guys really don't want to lead you guys on.
Don't want you guys to think I was lying later.
I was a stand-up comic. Yep. I could do a set for you if you guys, I don't know if you guys want to.
I would show you my driver's license, but you don't even know what that is.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I think, I mean, again, the attempt to prove to people that you're not insane is probably the exact set of actions that most prove that you're insane in that scenario.
Yeah.
But like the New York Times said, like, it's like certain people have a high trust in their instincts and their reality, and they tend to be conspiratorial because they're like, I know what I saw despite anything you can possibly tell me to the contrary. I know what I saw and I trust that.
Yeah.
Mm. And that's what I think this whole story speaks to is, you know, I think the one that there is some brackish water out there in terms of time and space that people wander into. And then I think that the stories that we get are the handful of people who don't just go with the flow. They're like, no, I don't know what happened.
Oh yeah.
And
plus in like, especially with the more recent ones, it'd be so hard to keep that story going if you were truly lying. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, very much so.
Yeah.
You know, granted, some of these were in the 90s and earlier than that and all that, but still there's newspaper clippings. There's like things that should be able to, especially nowadays, there's a lot of digital evidence that points into that direction. But at some point, you can't keep up that kind of facade for so long without either A, something truly of happening to you, or B, the most massively significant brain trauma caused that kind of spatial dissociation of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Have either of you experienced anything?
Time dilation?
Yeah, something where a time gap or a space gap where you're like, I was here, then I was there.
I mean, other than blackout drunk?
Yeah, no alcohol.
Yeah, not without the effects of things. But you know, as you grow older, obviously you lose sight of past memory, so everything seems shorter in a way. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know. Yeah. Time just seems, oh shit, a week has gone by. Like that kind of spatial dissociation where I just feel like I'm just zooming through things. But not to the degree of time travel or anything like that you're talking about. Really? It's just like, it feels that way sometimes. But that's just because work is stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Do you know what causes this though? I figured out how to make time go slower.
Yeah. What's that?
You have to do a shit ton of things during the day. You can't just do one thing all day.
Oh, really?
You have to be busy doing
can't sleep all day. Is that what you're saying?
Right. And you can't have the same. You have to keep changing your experiences because you have to form new pathways. Yeah, and if you stop forming pathways, if every day is the same, that just means it's all felt the same, which means it's the same memory.
It's like the idea of I don't know exactly what the theory is called, but it's like when you walk through the threshold of a doorway.
Oh, yeah, you forget things.
You forget things. Your brain does a wipe, and you're effectively shaking the Etch-A-Sketch every time you try to change something up and do something new.
Yeah, for sure.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Because when I was on the RV trip, it seemed like it felt like we were on it for a year. It's just because we did something new every day, constantly on the go.
Wow. And I think you live longer and look younger if you do that too. So I've aged so much in the past year. I've left the house.
Well, yeah, age and time, funny but different things. But yeah. I do see the point.
Yeah.
I don't have a really good explanation for these other than something that I think is literally going on. It probably happens again, like I think more than we know of. We just only get stories in certain instances.
Yeah.
Thankfully, because the German village where this guy wanders in is a kind village that's like,
right.
In fact, he was beloved.
Like, I think most villages are probably
kind. They wove him into tapestries
and stuff. Yeah. So I think
he's like, let me out.
He's wearing like a spacesuit.
One of those. It looks like Mork from Mork.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, no.
Yeah, they roll him up the flagpole. It's like, God damn it.
I love this topic. It's crazy that it's happening. Like, 2021, it happened in Romania. If you go on and you can search for it, you'll find more and more examples of this. But they're all very similar and very peculiar and strange like this. Wow. So,
what if all the missing 411s come back at the same time? That's a CBS TV show there.
It's like the Avengers Endgame moment. All of a sudden, they all just walk out.
Just bring it back in.
They all walk in, and we're like no, oh, shit. Now real estate's in really high demand.
Yeah.
Rent is how much?
What? Jesus. Yeah.
But at least next thing you're going to tell me,
it's $4.20 for gas.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's insane. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. What's
Thanos did that.
You got a final thought, Shane?
My final thought, I love stuff like this. It's hard for me as a sci-fi lover and a UFO lover not to think that a UFO could be at play or some sort of study. I'd be curious about if I want one to come back and be like, no, this is where I was, but of course that's not gonna happen. I think it's gotta be aliens. That's all in my mind. That's it. That's all it can be.
That's a real, this is just, it's like they littered.
Yeah,
it's like they picked somebody up. Yeah. They did some tests on them.
Yep.
And they're like, you didn't take him back?
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Jesus.
It's like, you know, there's a fine.
We
got
to go all the way back to 2012.
We've done the same thing with like bullfrogs. And
That's what it is.
Like, what is time to a bullfrog?
Yeah. Can you imagine a human that doesn't want, you know, they always have those ones they release, but they don't want to leave the cage and they're trying to shake that animal out. You think humans get stuck on the UFO and they're like, just get the fuck out of
here. No, man, it's so good up here. I'm so well fed.
It's so good. I can float around.
No one's going to believe me.
I know. They're going to ostracize me.
So maybe that's what it is.
Just tell them you're Shane Smith.
It's just discarded science experiments by aliens traveling back in time.
That's what I think.
If I just ditch it, it's like 30 years later.
Yeah.
It's like,
who cares? Whatever. It's close enough.
Yeah, right.
It may not be that accurate.
He's
going to
die soon.
Yeah. He's 90. Yeah. That's my thought. What's yours? No, what's good. Yours, Alex?
I like it.
I'm torn, to be honest with you, because, again, I'm very much like you, Shane. I'm a sci-fi guy, and you heard me, Justin, my mind immediately went to abduction. It's got to be abduction because they're going to have whatever magic tomfoolery to make people believe that time hasn't elapsed or whatever.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like we hear about these quantum particles and the ways in which we're understanding time and the fabric of space-time and all of this stuff coming out of, you know, the Higgs boson collider, Hadron collider, and the Hubble telescope is really telling us a lot about the cosmos. But it's just so weird that if they did come out of time, that they're able to jump back in with basically nothing else happening around them other than like someone driving them in a car is like, I found this guy, he's not going to pay the taxi, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's hard, man. I want to believe that it's a rift in the space-time, but it's weird to say this, but the more plausible explanation here is aliens.
Yeah. And I want to go. I want a final thought.
Okay.
You ready? So I just realized that this was back in the day these things happened, right? No real, like, super recent ones, right? But alien abductions have gotten better now to where people just lose a few hours. Maybe just shitty technology.
Oh, right.
It's like, we can only bring back 30 years, and then eventually it was like 18 years, and it was 5 years, and it was 3 hours.
Window's getting shorter, guys.
It is, yeah.
Right. This is kind of a dark tone to end on, but I'll just say, the thing that also strikes me as important is that the way that we collectively remember as a society, right, this idea that like there's such a thing as history that's recorded. I mean, increasingly we know that history is being recorded in a digital world. It's being recorded on computers. And it's somewhat scary, I guess, to think that you know, I was able to access this history. And we already know, even in our world, that like there's problems with information on the internet because it can be misrepresented, mm-hmm. it can be manipulated, people can just make stuff up, there's deep fakes, all this stuff. And so I just don't know what the future holds in terms of what we think of as like, yeah, this really happened, because it very well could be controlled by a single source of artificial intelligence who is able to just sort of control history in such a way that we don't ever really know.
Right.
You know, I mean, of all the things in The Matrix that are most terrifying to me, the movie The Matrix, the moment where Morpheus says, he says, where am I? And he says, the question is not where you are, it's when mm-hmm. you are. Because we all think that it's 2022 and we have this idea that this happened in 1800, 1900, mm-hmm. but I'm just reading this off of a computer.
Right, yeah.
And that information is stored in a place that I have no idea. I don't, how do we know as a culture? This, to me, also speaks to that because, you know, there could very well be a time in the near future where we don't really know what time and space and all those things mean because it's not part of our shared vocabulary and experience anymore. Right. I don't know. That's a dark.
Man,
I
like it. Going down the rabbit hole.
Sorry. Time to drink another beer.
Yep. Absolutely. I'm thirsty.
Before we crack another one and talk about something else, Alex, where can our listeners find you, follow you? I know they want to, I mean, like, what's your address? What's your social?
People are thirsting for this info.
Yeah, yeah, definitely clamoring for it. If you guys really want all of the details, make sure to sign up for the Patreon for the Conspiracy Beer. Yeah. Thanks. Make sure you pay for them deets. Yeah. I'll share those with you guys in the uncut edition. You guys aren't going to put any of my information.
No, I'll put all of it in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I'll put all more than you want.
My Instagram handle is at UrgeNC without the Y. So URGENC. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I do shows. Sometimes I'm booked on things. Yeah. Guys, it seems like I'm going to slowly but surely get some things booked.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
I'll be at Pitt Street Brewing on May 27th. So that'll be cool.
Down in Greenville. Nice.
Yeah, down in Greenville.
You got some fans down there for sure.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Good space down there. Big shout outs to Ben Malone
for
putting that together. Mm-hmm. I also got a really cool podcast with the Bopper Flop dudes.
Oh, yeah. That's a fun
from
one.
A few weeks back.
It's our buddies.
Yeah, Spencer and Jordan doing the Lord's work over there. Mm-hmm. And I told my story about hanging out with DMX.
That's nice. A good one.
Great
story.
That was
fun.
Yeah.
No conspiracies about that. That shit definitely.
Yeah, there's photos.
A photo. just one.
Yeah, true. But if you could put them next to each other and make them stereoscopic.
I'm going to flip it around. He's arguing with himself.
Yep.
But yeah, other than that, you know, at Urgency on Instagram, I put up photos of a bunch of records at Ahoff101 on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I tweet every now and then.
Nice.
I don't tweet.
Yeah. I came up with a really just as an example to the fam, just if you'll allow me, the last tweet, my tweets are generally 5 months apart. But basically this is the last one. And I was inspired by Stefan.
Oh, okay.
From SNL.
Mm-hmm.
Outback Steakhouse. This place has everything. Foster's people. Foster the people's punk belt kicks on a loop. A man wearing a Von Dutch hat and AirPods sitting at the bar arguing with his boss on the phone. You know, the guy that says, where should I have wiped it then? Yeah.
Are these free?
These are free tweets. Well, it's free for now until
Elon's
going to start charging me.
He probably get that.
Son of a bitch.
He's going to be on that high-end Twitter that he's creating, man.
He's going to read one of my tweets and be like, this guy doesn't deserve it.
This guy right here.
Yeah, he's out.
Yeah.
Well, look, thanks for joining us, man. And thank you all. And thank you especially to our patrons. But keep coming back and listening. We appreciate it. This has been Conspiracy Beer Me. I am Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith, and this was
Alex Hofford.
Peace. That was a good one. Super.